Hello and welcome to another episode of Success is the New Black. We have a very special guest with us today, and we're going to be talking about relationships and why men cheat coming up next. Hello, everyone, and happy Sunday. I am your host, Ashita Onre, and I have my guest, my co-host, I should say.
I'm co-host.
Sorry. I'm so excited about our guest today. I'm just ready to get into it. Welcome to another episode of Success is the New Black. Do we introduce you?
No, I will go ahead. I know we're all excited. I'm Tara. Yeah. I'm Tara. It's fine.
Welcome to another episode, and we have a very special guest with us today. Her name is Miss Hitch.
Yes.
Who is the celebrity matchmaker, but most importantly, mental toughness love coach, which I love. I'm loving that. Welcome to the show, Miss Hitch.
Thank you.
Welcome. Hello. Thank you so much for coming on a Sunday evening.
Thanks for having me.
So we are about to get into some really heavy, deep stuff on relationships, and I cannot wait to get into it. And we have her book here.
Bam.
Which is called Why Married Men Cheat.
I see people like their ears pepping up already, like,
yes.
What?
Why Married Men Cheat. Now, before we get into the chapters here, which is really good because I really want to, you know, dive into the chapters because it's so important for men and women to understand the psychological aspect of it. Let's go into Mrs. Hitch.
Miss Hitch.
Yeah. Let's go into why she wrote the book and how she got started writing this book.
Well, the reason why I wrote the book, because I was married to my ex-husband, of course, and he cheated, or, you know, I don't necessarily say he cheated, but he had a sexual addiction. Mm-hmm. I call it cheating because the psychological aspect of it is that, you know, he had a problem that he needed to cure. And I didn't, you know, take it personally. My whole thing is getting better and not getting bitter from the situation of what one person did, one experience that I had in my life.
Now, after your marriage, when you discovered your husband cheating, you decided to become a psychologist.
Absolutely.
So take us through those steps on, because most women, when they find out they cheat, mm-hmm. you know, find out that their husbands are cheating, they divorce, they move on, they say, okay, well, you know what, it was his bad, his fault, and I'll move on to the next relationship. But you took a different turn.
Right. I decided to become a psychologist because of the matchmaking process. The matchmaking process is just not, you know, when you hear matchmakers and, you know, when I looked into other matchmakers, it's not an easy ordeal. You have to go a little bit deeper and then match the mindset and not just putting people together or just saying, I think you're good for each other, or just pure chemistry. It goes deeper than that. I don't think that people, when they decide to match themselves or choose a mate, that they take it serious or take their own lives serious. So I think the psychology part and then becoming a mental toughness love coach was a very, very important part to becoming a matchmaker as well, and not just saying, I'm a matchmaker.
Right. Now, when you say mental tough coach, does that mean that you're just giving it raw, like telling people that they're wrong, telling people how they, you know, like, well, you know what, you were wrong in this, and is it the way that you deliver the message? Is that the toughness that comes out?
It's not necessarily the delivery. It is real, and I get people to do critical thinking and to look at themselves. It's not always about the other person and what the other person actually did, but it's actually looking at you, and most people don't do that. You know, I almost, you know, say that I'm a reverse psychologist, because I reverse whatever it is you're saying and whatever it is you do back on you, because if you can always look at you and reverse it back on you, you can always become a better you. And you are it. We're it.
That's true.
I have to ask you, just from off the top, when you said, you know, you realized that your ex-husband had a problem, you didn't take it personally, you didn't become bitter, you came better.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have those tools and that, like, kind of self-awareness before you went to school? Or did the education and psychology and that kind of thing help you deal with that?
Absolutely before. You know, before is very, you know, even though I have the education on psychology, but life lessons and what you go through is extremely important. It's much more education. It's real. Mm-hmm. You are practicing it in real life. It's just not a book. It's just not a professor giving you all this information and you crunching the information, just taking a test, that's good. Right. But when you have to get it, now what are you going to do to apply it to everyday life or right. when you're in a real situation? That's the important part of it. That's the most important part.
And I have another question. We're going to get into the book for a sec. But I have another question. Why is it so hard for people to understand the realness of relationship, the realness of themselves, of dealing with their issues, dealing mm-hmm. with their past, dealing with their current situations? It seems so hard for people to reflect, or they want to bounce off. Okay, but I did that because of her, or I made that decision because of him. It's never, you know what? I messed up, I own it, and this is why. It's always a battle to try to get people to self-reflect.
Right. That's because, you know, most people are living in, you know, my mental toughness coaching, the first thing that I have to do with people that we go through is we break delusion. Most people are in a delusional aspect and a false sense of world on living in their mind and in their thinking and in their head. Most people don't. If you need to go to school to be a psychologist and learn that, you have to seek some type of help outside of yourself to become a better you. And most people don't, because of the influences we have, the people who grew us up, you know, whether it's our parents, mom, dad, preachers, pastors, teachers, whatever the case may be, then people hold on to that. And people don't take the time to, when they turn 18 years old, mm-hmm. to actually grow up, because you have to grow up. Just because you turn 18 don't mean that right. you're an adult. So that's a task within itself that people actually don't do. And most people are living in what it's called an subjective reality and not a real objective reality, to have a clear stance of what it is. People love to chase delusion. People love to chase what's not real. People love fantasies. They love dreams. Mm-hmm. It's very hard for people to actually just come down to what's in front of you, what's real, exactly what it is. And it takes practice. And most people and most adults, I could say, they don't practice. Is that it's they go off of what other people say, what right. other people think. Right. People don't think. Mental toughness is critical thinking for yourself, thinking on your own, and not let somebody else do it for you. That's the problem.
All right.
Amazing.
Thank you for schooling me. I appreciate it.
I'm like, I need to take a break so I can digest just what we talked about in the last time.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
I know.
So much.
So I had the opportunity in my little tabs here. I had the opportunity to read your mm-hmm. book, and it's a very, very good book. I'm very intrigued by it. And the book, what you do is you actually talk to real life couples, men
Absolutely.
Per se,
mm-hmm.
and they tell their stories
yes.
on why they cheated.
Yes.
And I noticed when I was reading it, going back to what you were saying, that a lot of them did not take the time to deal with their issues beforehand.
No.
So with that said, how do we do that before we enter into a marriage?
Well, you know, it's a day-to-day process. What we fail to realize, and what I think human beings fail to do, is we work jobs, we work our kids, we work our hair, our nails, our wardrobe, whatever, but we forget to work ourselves. And if you forget to work on you and you or it, then essentially there's going to be a lot of holes. There's going to be a lot of space. You're not going to become, you know, as authentic as you can possibly be. It's not an easy task. But it's a day-to-day task. It's daily to be aware and conscious of the real you, who you are, what you want to do, what you say, what you see, people, other people. That's a day-to-day task that we all forget to do. If you don't consistently work on yourself, then we will have some spaces that we lose.
I watch television. I watch all sorts of television programs, and one of the television programs that are out, you know, recently, Married at First Sight.
Oh yeah,
yes.
Just yeah, very
I'm curious.
Listen, I should have been on that show.
Well, I'm just saying.
On the host, Married at First Sight.
I mean,
good night with that.
I mean, you know, hearing you talk about and how you break down day to day life and people mm-hmm. not really taking an assessment and how people don't take it seriously. What is your opinion of a show like Married at First Sight? I mean, what's your opinion of the show and what they're showing?
I mean, what they're showing is still a lot of drama, you mm-hmm. know, in a sense. And I believe that two grown people getting together and want to be in a relationship, it's a upward battle of a hypnotic flow and rhythm of harmony. And you would know that it's a flow. It's not going to be the currency. You're not going to continuously bump heads and bump heads, bump heads. When that happens, I believe that someone is not ready. Someone is not whole. Someone needs to possibly go inside themselves and see what are their own personal issues before you decide to put yourself and implement yourself in someone else's life, someone else's family. And those things we really don't do. You can. I've interviewed some couples who've been married for 30, 40 years who said it was the high school sweetheart, right, or it was the first sight. Mm-hmm. But there was some, you know, there was some things that they had to go through in order to keep that together, of course. But married at first sight, I think it's just a show.
Okay. I appreciate that. I mean, I watch it and you see you have these professionals and you're putting people together. I'm like, from someone else outside of that, I just wanted to know
the professionals opinion. Have to be real. That's the catch. Like, if I'm going to be a mental toughness coach, I have to be mentally tough and inclined myself. I can't just be in a whole disarray in my life and just sew everything like a stress bag, and then I'm trying to, you know, do. It's just, you have to be careful of who we have as authority figures.
Got it. Yeah,
that's important.
Got it.
I have a question for you, for the ladies, to help guide them, mm-hmm, based on your book. So on one of your chapters, the gentleman was married and the wife had a baby, mm-hmm, and she paid so much attention to the baby.
That's Kenny.
Kenny, which, mm-hmm, neglected the husband.
Yes.
Which is, some of my friends have done that and have been in that situation.
Absolutely.
Now, I get it from his aspect and I also get it from her aspect. Mm-hmm. How does the woman, not saying that it's his fault that he cheated and you're taking care of the baby, I just want, right, to clear that up. Mm-hmm. Everybody out there is watching. Please do not tweet me. Do not Facebook me. Like, don't, why is it her, right, fault? Why? Yeah, I'm just asking a question.
That's it. Okay.
The question is, how does a woman maintain balance where she can take care of the infant and take care of her husband to where he doesn't feel neglected?
Well, you have to be, first of all, you have to be consciously aware of, you know, most of the time when we have kids, we have babies, a lot of times they'll be like, oh, I'm pregnant. It's just that I'm pregnant. A lot of them are not planned. And with that being said, like I said, consciously aware, knowing that you do have a husband and he's still going to need the same amount of attention to implement him in with the kids as well, and always be aware that life is not one-sided. It's not always just because you have a kid, because I have one, so she know and I know that life is not all about you, me, and us. It's about everything around us. So right, it's very important to maintain a balance, because like Kenny said, he got left out. He felt like he was an outsider. He was on the outside looking in, you know, like, oh, okay, well, you over there with the baby. And then it can become a sense of loneliness with the, yeah, men, like, you know, he have. And a lot of women, I have a lot of those stories that they do that. Life is not just about, oh, I have this kid, I want to protect this kid, oh, I'm going to have this kid. Because, right, you know, most of the time the kids, they get old and then they don't even think about you. They don't. They live in their own life. They're very quickly. Life, and they, right, will turn on you very quickly. So you have to tread that water very slightly. Okay, I'm going to, you know, take care of you. We can't do, we want to be as mothers the protector. You know, right, we want to keep you. But in a real sense of life, that's not real. We can do what we can and what we should do and make sure we continue to balance and maintain. Don't put something out because something else came in. You have to still, okay, be consciously aware of that same balance of what you were doing for him. And then be aware that if you do that to him, how do you think it's going to make him feel?
Right.
If it was the other way, which man ain't going to have no kids, but I'm just saying, how do you think that would make you feel?
Now, I also want to ask a question for the woman that does do that, that does live consciously, that is aware of her surroundings and her husband and her kid and her family home and her job, and the man still cheats.
Yeah, my ex-husband.
Right.
Uh-huh. That one right there. You understand me? But, yeah, that's because I chose wrong. You know, I got with him when I was 20 years old. and I didn't have as much wisdom as now. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't in the space, in the place to choose wisely. I saw a lot of who he was and the behavior. And my thinking and thought process back then was, we're 20. You have to give people gray area. There's gray area, and give them time to grow. I believe in that. We all have to do that in a sense. However, because I was with him for 12 years, and what I started to study him, learn him, I probably knew him better than he actually knew himself after it was all over, said, and done, is that people are going to be who they are. When you meet them that day and they express and tell you who they are, believe just that. Don't think that, you can't look at adults, and I notice, as potential. Potentially, he could become an attorney. Potentially, okay, says right. who? Who says who? That's not who. That character and what he is and what she is, normally when you meet them, that's it. Because I learned that going through. Didn't matter how much I gave, how much I did, what I did for him, he still remained him. I'm not saying he's a bad person, not at all. He's a great creative guy in his own right. We just wasn't meant to be together. We just on two different mindsets, two different planes, and mm-hmm. it's okay. You know, I understood it once we got older, and it was time to, you know, depart.
Yeah. And you coach people, single, married, getting ready, like you through the whole entire mm-hmm. gamut of mm-hmm. everything mm-hmm. When you coach people. And when you meet someone, let's say you're coaching a single person, mm-hmm. what kind of things do you say? I mean, or do you depart the same kind of knowledge that you're saying now? Have you really, like, what are you looking for? Like, how do you help someone who's like, I'm ready, but I don't know how to find someone? Like, what are the things that you tell them?
It depends on, you know, it's case by case, person mm-hmm. by person. You know, one thing I don't do is look at everybody as the same. Coaching is, I do have a method of coaching. However, I still have to coach the individual on the level that they're on. You know, I can't coach an individual who's just, like you said, a 20-year marriage, right. and then just getting out of it. Now she's single, on someone that's just been single for 5 years, you know, and just mm-hmm. looking for someone. It all depends on the person, their mindset, where they are, where they're going, how they feel. Because you always have to ask people, and it's very important, on how they feel, what's going on with them. Mental toughness is freedom. It's happiness. And it's only critical thinking, you know, on what, getting people to think and explain who they are and how they feel, because nobody's talking to anybody. Nobody asks questions. Nobody cares. Mm-hmm. You know, when most of the time, the questions that I ask, 99% of the time, like, I didn't think about that. I never thought about that. And then I'm like, you never thought about that? Nobody's thinking. Most people are laying dormant in their mindset. So it's just an awareness and awakening, person by person.
So much of it you hear in relationships, people need to communicate, but you're advocating that as yourself, you need to be introspective and think and almost communicate with yourself and ask yourself questions. Like,
absolutely, because if you're not communicating with yourself and thinking on your own, then how do you think you're going to just jump in somebody else's life and think and ask questions? It doesn't happen. That's why it's so many relationships out here, and people are together, but they're just together. Yeah. It's a lot of useless relationships that are together, that we're just tolerating each other, yes. waiting on you to change, and me waiting on me to change, yes. and not knowing that you have to change for it, or waiting on the world to change for you. That's not going to happen. It's so many of those out there, and people are not getting into it. Like, it's a partnership. I'm getting in it to win. Yes. Do this person have the tools that I need in order to build a partnership so that we can have the harmony of the hypnotic flow and rhythm of an upward battle? And most people, but most relationships will have problems. It's a ploy it's a cheap cop out, just mm-hmm. Because you still have problems and you're really not ready. So most relationships have problems. Well, what kind of problems are you? If you're in a relationship, you build, and relationships are to be built, and they're good. And most people don't build relationships. Mm-hmm. We just get with people, married at first sight, right. and thinking everything is supposed to just be lily black and white. You have to build. People don't, the real work, but it's good work, is building on a relationship, building on someone. Building, yeah. Building, create. But people are not doing that.
I love this. I'm like mesmerized at what you're saying. Just the same. Sorry. No, it's great. Thank you. Yeah.
So I want to go back to what you said about the building and the communication and then finding someone that you actually are compatible with. Because oftentimes we're dating, you meet someone, you're dating, and they have this representative that they show at first. Mm-hmm. What are the tools that the woman can ask and the men to find out the real person and not just think that they're falling in love with the representative?
And people always said, I hear that the representative. Most of the time, I really don't believe in the representative. People come and they really state who they are. It's just we are so delusionalized. If that's not a word, let me put that in the dictionary. But anyway.
It is now.
And we're looking at the person for who they could be for us in our thinking and in our head, and not just simply looking at the person for who they are and who they're saying that they are. We're looking at it on making them and everything they say and everything move they make. We're making it to fit us. And we have to change our perspective on when we date people and how we see people, how we view people, just to see them and view them strictly for who they are. Mm-hmm. And then us women, just because we meet a man doesn't mean that every man we meet that he has to be our next knight in shining armor, our next husband, our next sleep with, our next boyfriend. We are viewing the wrong way. Our eye, the lust of the eye is absolutely ridiculous. Our perception, we could see people, because every man that, you know, I meet or want to think that they want to date Miss Hitch, that's not what's, I look at them for who they are, see if I can possibly do a business deal or something else with you.
Gotta get that business in.
Yeah, exactly. Not necessarily. You coming home with me, that's what you're not doing. Okay, hold on for a second. See, and most women view and look at men like that, and we can't do that. Ask questions. Don't just sit. When a man say something, you ask questions. And most women don't ask questions. Mm-hmm. The right questions.
Yeah.
Where you going? Who you with? Do you even want to be in a relationship? How was your last relationship? What did you do? I mean, it's nothing wrong with asking questions. What do you do? Who do you live with? And not just letting him talk and tell, and then you just letting him do and be. You have to ask questions and then sit back and just watch the action. Because mm-hmm. a lot of us women, too, we just take what they say. Oh, what you said. Well, he just showed you what he didn't say. And you didn't see that. That's your fault. We don't watch. We just all just so thirstified. We want to just get in on him and like, oh, just because of the way he looked or because of the state that we're in at that time. We want somebody. My biological clock is ticking. I want to be married. So then you go throw your thirst bagness on just the next thing that comes up. And he might not even be the one. We don't do enough homework. Not saying that you got to go do this whole big background check, this work, but you should do some type of background work. When someone says something, watch the action. A man told me, not a man, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, a lot of them said. 1, 2, 3, all y'all
this
out there.
This comes from focus group.
All of y'all and all of y'all said that it's easy for me to tell a woman something and, you know, keep leading around with that, and I really don't have to do it.
Interesting.
Several of them have said that. And I'm like,
interesting.
Different men that don't even know each other. I can just tell a woman something of what I'm going to do and don't even have to actually carry out the action to even do it. Because the delusion of the mindset of keep the false that you keep chasing of something that you want to happen, that you think going to happen, that's not happening. Because we living in our heads. It's that woman brain. The woman brain. This is the woman brain. I'm going to get a forum screen together on the woman brain.
Woman brain.
Come on now. They be like, the man is saying something else, and you thinking a whole... I'm like, he never even said that.
So if a woman was to find someone, a real man, and this...
Depending on what's a real man
right,
to a real woman. All that, you know, that's false hope system. What's real to you? You know what I'm
saying? Depending on the state of mind that you're in.
Exactly. I mean, we don't know what's real. I mean, girl, because a lot of them, they be like, it's a real man. I'm like, compared to who? You molded. Okay.
I love it. Love it. Okay, so how does...
Yeah,
dude,
girl. Bye.
I got a text. All right. How does one woman avoid being cheated on?
Choosing the right man. It's not an avoidance. See, we're saying that this is where we have the whole cheating thing it's in a false sense. Know the man that you're dealing with. Know the man that you're about to get into a quote-unquote relationship with.
Right.
That just know the person you're getting into a relationship with. If he's capable of being faithful, is he capable of being honest? Is he capable of being loyal? See, what people don't understand, loyalty is not something we do. It's who you are. You have to become loyal. Like, if I come into a man's life right now, honey, I'm coming up, I'm already loyal. I'm a loyal person. I'm loyal to me. I've become that. That's my practice. It's loyal. Not because you showed up and now I'm with you. Now all of a sudden, I'm loyal. You just said you cheated on the last one. And then the one before that, then the one, and then they'd be like, oh, well, okay. Well, I'm this, I'm that. He ain't going to cheat on me. Well, what are you? What are you doing? What are you, you know? We have to become real helpmeets and real helpmates to these men out here, and vice versa. Not just pop in somebody's life, just think because of you, and you could be looking half decent, and, you know, you think your sex drive is game is going doing something. All that stuff doesn't matter. That's old. That's out. That's outdated.
Yeah.
That's under the water. You have to become more. We have to come with self-value. What's self-value? And then when you know you are valuable and you have self-value, then you just don't prostitute yourself to everybody. You know you're not for everyone.
Right.
Like me, now I know that I'm not for everybody. It'll be very unfair for me to go and date my ex-husband again. Like I say, he's a great guy, but just not for me. It'll be very unfair for me to do that because the levels that we're on, his mindset and thinking, my mindset and thinking, what I think, the way that I think and how, it'll be unfair. Then we're gonna bump heads all the time. Because you just know the person that you think that you're trying to get into a relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
That's just it. And we don't do that.
Right.
We just jumping in. And most of these relationships are assume relationships. So I've talked to people or the couples that have been in relationships for 15, 10, 20 years, and they don't even have half the information. Let me just go back to the man in the book. I asked them, did your ex-wife know any of this? Nope. And I probably could say all of them. Nope. Well, except for my ex-husband, because like I said, I coached him through his divorce, and I was divorcing him. Yes. He was going to have a heart attack if I didn't. Ooh, Lord have mercy. All right. You just got to know your value. And know that it's just not the pretty and the whole sexual thing. And that don't work. That's old school too. That's old. You know, this life is tough out here.
Mm-hmm.
And you need a real human being that can get you, catapult you, motivate you, and help you through this. Because at the end of the day, then you're looking at, you know, I can cook, I clean. Most of them, I cook, I clean. I'm like, well, you should cook. I mean, you hungry, right? Okay. Because, girl, if he loses his job, he ain't going to want your spaghetti or your pork chop. Okay. Nope. He's going to need a little bit more than that. Okay. A little bit more than that. So you got to have a little bit more, you know, self-value and building. And what else can you offer? Because most women, I hitch up, first thing they do, I cook, I clean. I'd be like, ooh, this speech. If somebody tell me this speech one more time on the cook, clean, and I take care of my kids. This stuff is a given. This stuff is what we supposed to be doing. What else do you have beyond? Yeah. Nobody's doing anything beyond the norm. We're making normal stuff and trying to put it out there like it's extraordinary, and it's not. And nobody's telling people this either.
Yeah.
Nobody dared to be different. Everybody just want to be on the same planet and support each other's delusion.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want it to tell you, like, girl, is that all you got? Well, what else? Because I can't hit you up. I mean, I need something to sell too. And that ain't gonna work. Okay.
So it's to recap for the audience.
And me too.
Yes,
I'm
all
taking
of us,
it
right?
All
to recap, because I'm just like, okay, she just gave me so much. I need to break it down for myself. I need to break it down for you. The audience.
Sorry about that, audience. You know. I know it's real.
I'm like, to recap.
Yeah. There's no need to apologize. This is needed and necessary.
It sure is. Up your game.
It's all good.
You're going to get left behind. Donald Trump president. You're going to get left behind. Back there with Obama. Okay.
So, live in a state of consciousness at all times.
You have
to. All times.
Exactly. Except when you sleep.
Right. So live in a state of consciousness.
Yes, ma'am.
Be naturally a loyal person. Everything and become you have to be a lawyer. Yeah.
Absolutely. And these things you have to become. Yeah. Because people are like, I'm looking for love. Where is it at? I'm trying to find it too. You have to become love. You have to walk in love. That have to become you. These things that you think you're looking for and you want, it have to become you. It's not something that we do. You do your 9 to 5. Now, if they call you at 6 o'clock on your little Target job and you not answer the phone, you're like, I am off. Do not ask me where the go backs have went back because I'm not going back. That's it. That's something you do. You off. You turn it off and you turn it on. Loyalty, love, faithfulness, those things have to become you. That is you. It's a makeup. It's a part of you. It's stuck to you. It's not something you just pick up and do.
Right. And then when you become that person, then you attract that same individual at the opposite sex or the same sex.
Well, you don't necessarily attract because you still can attract a little dust every here and again.
Try to be positive.
However, you will. It is. But I'm just saying, you will. But what it is that you will know what's not for you.
Yes.
That's what you become. You know, you just let people bounce off and it bounce off and you don't internalize everybody that come your way and you just float through happily ever after. People don't bug you, bother you, get on your nerves because it's just, okay, I just know that you're just simply not for me and it's okay.
Bitter, not bitter, but better.
Absolutely.
Just keep it on go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we got too much life to live out here.
It's you a lot.
Bitter don't, can't do that. We got to keep getting better.
Bitter is not cute.
No.
It is not. But I think the number one, and at least for me, that I resonated with is the number one is to stay in a state of consciousness. Because I think a lot of times, actually, I don't think I know. I've lived it. I've experienced it. Is that we do slack as women because this is about why men cheat. So please, don't tweet me. Staying on topic here. We do become lazy, as what some men have said.
Absolutely.
We no longer look cute. We no longer take care of ourselves. We become so into the children that we forget how to be a wife, in a sense, of how to be that loving woman that they so need.
Absolutely. And a lot of men do say that a lot of women get lazy. I mean, like from marriages from their 20s, 30s. And I'm like, how can you? Lazy don't exist, though. Like, it's too much life to live. You have to, you think that it's so much, I don't want to necessarily say competition, but it's a lot of beautiful women out here.
Yes.
And you want to always remain not only beautiful for him, but beautiful for yourself. Mm-hmm. You always, because it make you look good, you feel good. It's no such thing as really getting lazy because we have no time to get lazy or become lazy. That's a human being. Now the woman is mad when he lazy with you. And then we have to be present, but presently connected. Just not present. You just here. Mm-hmm. But you have to remain connected to that human being because that's a human being. That human being matters. They say Black Lives Matter. All life matters. But I'm just saying that life, it matters. And we have to know that we don't take life seriously. We don't take our spouse life. We take jobs more serious. We show up every day on time.
Yeah.
We there. We going to get their paycheck. Hey, welcome to JCPenney's. How may I help you? Then you get home and be like, you still here? Boy, bye. Okay. Then you mad. You know, but you at that job. You faking. You falsing. And you showing up on time.
Right.
And then you going and you going and you going. But you won't even do that or, show up on time and be on time and be there for the person that you land next to every night.
Yeah. And that's the work. That's actually the work in the marriage. Outside of what people think, when I speak with people about marriage, it's like, yes, girl, it's hard work. It's hard work to communicate. It's hard work.
But we have to get that out our mind.
Right.
Of it's hard work. Anything that you put in your mind and you inject that in there, marriage is hard work. It's hard. Marriage is fun. Like I tell people, they be thinking mental toughness. No, mental toughness is fun. Mm-hmm. A marriage is fun. If you gonna get into a marriage, you get in there to have fun. I've only matched up 18 couples. They're all still together. Okay, only 18 because I'm a direct match. And I got that gift just to know. And then I coach them to give them a different perspective to go into, this is not really a job. This is not hard. This is fun. This is a person that you said, I do. And then a lot of people say I do, but then they don't. Girl, you said you did. Now you didn't. You ain't doing nothing. Ooh, what is it? And then you get in there, and then you're supposed to, it's a creative thinking of ways to have fun, for us to get through this life together, having fun, being fun. If you're going to get a human being in your life and you want to say you do, then know that you're getting that person there so that you can be and you can add to their life. you can add. You want to add as much as you can, because look at the life that we're living out here. I mean, like, why are you getting with a person then? Then don't be with anybody if you're not coming to add, to have fun, to create ways to always stimulate that person, to make sure they're okay, to make their life better. Otherwise, what is it all for? I mean, like, why are we wasting our time getting in relationships and getting with people if you just gonna have your same little stank attitude, your same little laziness, your same little nut? What are you bringing? You bring, like, who wants to sit around with that? That's just like putting a plant in your living room and it's dying, it's dead. Ain't nobody watering it, it's dead. You gotta water your spouse.
Right. I like that.
Right.
You have to water your spouse.
You gotta water your spouse.
You have to water, nurture, take care of your spouse.
Absolutely. What's wrong with that? That's what you got into it for. Otherwise, let somebody else do it then.
Because somebody else will do
it. Somebody else will do it. What are we getting together for? Just to let the plant sit in the middle of the living room and it's dying. Nobody water. You just walking back and forth. Ain't paying no attention. Okay.
So I want to leave on this. What advice do you have for the men?
Do we have to leave? I'm sorry.
I know. I'm watching the time here.
Sorry.
What advice do you have for the men to avoid being this man?
Lord have mercy. What advice I have for the man to avoid being that man? Just recognize your true essence of yourself. You know? Recognize your true... If you know that you are not... You have hidden demons. You're really not ready. I recommend you come get coached by Miss Hitch. That's what
there
I recommend.
There we go. There we go. There we go.
Go see
Miss
Hitch.
That's the answer right there.
See Miss Hitch. Yes, I'm directly back. Trying to make sure you are on the up and up with yourself. Because nobody's talking to the man either. Nobody's paying them no attention.
Right.
They just a macho man. That's a human being. Just like we are. They have emotions. And more men are more scorned than the women. If we don't know, but nobody's talking to them. We're just looking at us men. But I recommend them to come talk to Miss Hitch. That's what you do.
I'm going to go out and be like, no, go talk to Miss Hitch
first. That's exactly what you should do. I tell everybody, I'm like, you got to talk to Miss Hitch? Ooh, that's why you're in this situation. But, you know, people avoid me too because people like to still stay in their false sense of delusion. And they don't want to hear
what's
real. They're not there. But you got to get, I mean, you
have to be ready.
You better be. What else you doing in this life? You're cheating yourself. So if you would avoid that, then keep cheating yourself.
Right.
That's what I told my ex-husband. I was like, ooh, okay, I'm going to get ready to get out of this. You cheated yourself. You didn't cheat me. You didn't cheat on me. You cheated yourself. And, you know, now I don't think he's still out there kind of scrambling. So, you know, how that goes. It's been 8 years. But he's a great guy. But it's just, you know, you just see that it's now he's out there. It's not that easy. Yeah.
Miss Hitch.
Miss Hitch.
Thank you.
Missy, you're so welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on. You can find Miss Hitch on MissHitch.com.
Yes, ma'am.
And on Twitter.
Yes.
Facebook.
Yes.
Instagram.
Yes.
Miss Hitch.
Miss Hitch.
And
Miss Hitch,
we go.
You have another, you have an event coming up for the holidays. You're doing some toy drive.
Right. Toy drive, charity. You know, Miss Hitch, you have to get out there and, you know, continually to, you know, give. Absolutely. 22nd Children Toy Drive. That's out there, you know. So
that's amazing. Thank you so much for the work and everything that you do. And seriously, if you need Miss Hitch, don't cheat yourself. Go see Miss Hitch.
Treat yourself.
Right, exactly. Thank you so much. I'm your host, Ashita Onray. You can find me at Ashita Onray on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
I'm Tara Johnson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TJ Wagging Her Tail.
Thanks again, Miss Hitch, and they can find you everywhere at Miss Hitch.
Absolutely. MSHITCH. Everywhere.
Find her.
Find her.
She's out there.
She's out there.
Thank you so much. We look forward to inspiring you next week.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.